plate a potential nugget.
I wanted to talk about your journey a little bit, Paddy. You were the fitness trainer for the South African team in the 90s. But in 98, you quit the team stating that something was missing. And then you took a series of experiences that eventually led you to working with Gary Kirsten as a mental conditioning and the strategic leadership coach of the Indian team prior to the 2011 World Cup. I'm curious about how you thought about choices, your why behind some of the choices you made, and your journey in this passage of play.
I mean, very good question, Deepak. You know, if I go back to, you know, the something when I had spent 4 years with the South African cricket team as fitness trainer from 1994 to 1998, working under Bob Woolmer, who was a coach, and Hansi Cronier. The team was a very fit team. Bob Woolmer was probably one of the most forward-thinking and innovative coaches in the cricket world at the time. Hansi Cronier, an incredible leader of men. So it was a very, very good team. And that was really, that was the time where I looked at the players and I looked at the team as a whole and felt that there was something missing from, I felt we could be performing better. I felt the team could be doing a whole lot better, but I really didn't know how or what that something missing was. And for me, resigning from that job, that choice was made really intuitively because I couldn't answer anybody why I left the job. I couldn't answer any questions about, so what was it that was that something missing? It was just a feeling. It was a sense. It was a gut. So that decision to resign from what I really was an ideal, probably a dream job for someone in their mid-20s, was made completely intuitively, and I just followed my gut. I knew I needed to move on in search of whatever might be next. And that was probably one of the first times when I really had the experience of making a significant or even life-changing decision based on intuition or on gut feeling. My next sort of significant decision was to spend 2 years, what ended up being 2 years, working as a street worker with some of the hardened and most difficult to work with street dwellers in the Cape Town city center. When I say street dwellers, you know, they were also the sort of the criminals, all of them involved in some shape or another in drugs and various forms of crime. So hardened street children and criminals to a degree. And that too wasn't really a decision. It was something that I found myself just per chance playing soccer with them one day, and then I went back the next week and played soccer with them, and then started spending some time on the streets and started to, without deliberately setting out to do so, to understand how things worked in the Cape Town, sort of the city center's underbelly of, you know, street children and street youth and crime and movement of drugs and how things worked. And I ended up just spending 2 years without ever actually making a decision or planning to do so, working with these street children and building a street children's organization. And I guess what sort of, if I were just to take another step to the right, probably the next big move after I had moved on from that was when a friend told me about this profession called executive coaching, which at the time, you know, that was in the early 2000s. I had never heard of the concept of executive coach. And he explained to me that it was coaching of business executives. And he said there was, in fact, what at the time was the world's first two-year master's degree in getting qualified as an executive business coach. And for me, there was just something about his explanation that in that moment, it's like, yes, that's the something that I think I've been looking for, to really understand the academics and science behind getting the best out of people in a high-performance business-type environment, which cricket or sport, professional sport, is a business. So that was a very conscious decision. I felt that could be the path to discovering and that something missing that I was looking for. And as it turned out, it certainly was the path, and I did. That was the beginning of discovering the something missing, and you know that's been the underpinning of still today what I brought into the professional sports world.
Got it. And And if I may maybe request you to step away from your journey and look at it objectively, and if I were, let's say, a 20-something old coming to you for advice on my journey, right, and really say, how should I think about reinventing myself? What are the one or two things that you've learned from the way you've architected your journey?
Wow, you know, that's if someone came to me at the, you know, as an early 20-year-old and asked me to really reflect on things, I think I was at that stage in my life, if I just personally, where I was really just exploring, experimenting, and probably the best advice I could have got from someone there, and it's in fact what I did for myself, was my mantra is, and someone in the early 20s who really didn't know exactly what I wanted to do for a career, and I think you probably find there's even more of that in this day and age where there's so many options and so many brand new career paths opening up each month, literally. Is my mantra was to spread my wings as wide as possible and make sure I was moving forward. And what that meant was, by spread wings as wide as possible, is take in as many opportunities, as many experiences, as learn as much as possible, get the blinkers off in life and experience, learn, grow. And the moving forward part was also tied into that, was make sure that I am learning things, that I'm learning about myself, I'm learning about new professions, new options, and just make sure that I was growing myself. And in having that sort of wings spread wide, blinkers off, and make sure I was advancing in terms of learning. If you're playing PlayStation or Xbox, you're not advancing yourself. You're not really learning a whole lot. Yes, there is some advancing your certain skills, but you're not moving forward in life because you're not going to get the next job because you're a good Xbox player. If you're over-socializing, yes, you're having a whole lot of fun, but you're not moving forward in life and building the CV. So the advice I would give would be to, especially in this day and age, is to experience as much as possible, but make sure those are things that are taking you forward in life, that you are learning something that is even adding to your health, advancing your health, advancing your emotional intelligence, advancing your cognitive abilities and capabilities. And I think at the same time, probably my real turnaround in my life came from when I didn't spend the bulk of my time looking externally at the external world, but when I turned the mirror inwardly and started to understand, who am I? What am I? What do I think I'm on this world, on this planet for? What are my strengths? What are the things that happened in my childhood, in my upbringing, my personality, my character that shapes who I am? And which of those things need some polishing? Which some of those things need some renovating? So really, the journey of personal mastery. And I probably only sort of embarked on that journey very intentionally and deliberately, maybe in my late 20s, probably even early 30s. And I think the sooner somebody can embark on that journey of personal mastery, of reflecting, of looking inward and fine-tuning ourselves as the instrument of leadership, of coaching, of business, of sport, the more we're going to really get a foot up and go forwards in life.
The way Paddy describes his move from the South African cricket team reminds me of my conversation with Professor Herminia Ibarra of the London Business School. She speaks about the notion of liminality, where she says that you have quit something without fully knowing what's next. And in that in-between phase that she calls liminality can be unnerving.
There's two bits. When you kind of see, when you're making a transition, people think you go from A to B, but you don't. You go from A to this transition thing, which we call liminality in our technical jargon, to be. Mm-hmm. So in between, you're neither here nor there, and it's horrible because you lose your identity anchors. And so in that space, it behooves you to be a little bit more playful because you're neither here nor there. So that means you don't have to be consistent, and you can try and you can talk to people about jobs you'd never consider, or you can do things that are pretty much out of character, but you know you're trying to learn something. And that can be very freeing because we don't often give ourselves permission to deviate.
There are no corporate guidelines.
No. And so the two principles are, as you said, divergent exploration and delayed commitment.
Paddy speaks about how his friends describes the executive coaching program. And Paddy says that at that moment, it clicked for him. And that was the thing that he was looking for. But it's not as if that epiphany happened when he was working with a South African cricket team and it was a clean jump. The phase of liminality for Paddy was when he was working with the street dwellers in Cape Town. That phase created the space for the new possibility to emerge. Several of the people I observe and work with are keen to get on with it and move on to the next opportunity, and this phase of liminality can be unnerving. But that's often the dark valley that we all need to pass through before we get to a better place. Thank you for listening. For more podcast content, please visit playtopotential.com. The website also has content organized by specific themes in the curated playlist section. And to know more about the leadership and transition advisory work I do, please visit the About section at playtopotential.com or transitioninsight.com. Thank you.